Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday Night Bible Study. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God. And I don't take it lightly. And I thank God for the opportunity he has given me. I want to let you know that our lesson is going to come out of the book of Philippians, the first chapter. And the title of the lesson is, Jesus Will Complete the Work That He Has Started in You. You know, we have to realize that God is doing everything that's necessary for us while we're here on earth. And it's a process. It's a part of his master plan. And tonight we're going to take a little look at it and see what it's all about. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And I chose this song, which is a praise song, because the words that the lady is saying, Tisha Cobb is saying, she's asking God to fill her up. And we all should ask God to give us more and more of him daily. So I'm going to play the song, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to explore the word of God together. Listen and be blessed.
Bye.
Well, that was Tisha Cobb, and she was singing Fill Me Up. She was expressing in her praise that she wants more of him, and that's a blessing. Well, now it's time to go to the throne of grace, and I have Madison Chambers. Most of you know Madison. He's with me on tonight, and if you heard the barking, that's his little dog. The dog is here as well. But Madison is going to bring us to the throne of grace. And if anyone else would like the prayer as well, you could press the one button on your phone. And once the prayer is gone forth, I will come back and we will explore the word of God together. Be prayerful with Madison and for Madison.
God, thank you for this day that you woke all of us up, and please allow us to get the deep message of the program. Please allow us to apply this to our lives and everyday needs, and please allow us to gain a message so we can teach these things to other people. And please, God, watch over us, because each day we may do things that we're not supposed to, and all we can think about is forgiveness because your son died on the cross for us. And thank you, God, for everything you have done. Without you, maybe we wouldn't even have started this wonderful program where thousands of people could call in and learn even more news about God. Thank you, God, for everything you have done. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yes, that's my grandson, Madison Chambers. If anyone else would like to pray, you could press the one button and I'll open your mic. If not, we're going to go into the Word. We have some more callers that has called in. So, again, I'll say that the title of the lesson is Jesus Will Complete the Work That He Started in You, coming from the book of Philippians, the first chapter. You know, we always do background, and if we look at Philippians, we know that Paul is the writer of the book of Philippians. The Philippians were the people that lived in Philippi. So his letter went out to the Philippians, and they lived in Philippi. But tonight I want to talk about sanctification for part of our introduction and given you some background. So I want you to know that sanctification is a master plan that God established for his people. Let's get that. The process of sanctification was a part of God's master plan designed for his people. You see, our spiritual life is accomplished in phases, and the process is called sanctification. The word sanctification in most Bibles means separation. It is used in the New Testament as the separation of the believers from evil. It is the result of obedience to the Word of God. Sanctification is God's will for all of us. He wants to sanctify us, separate us, you know, set us apart, that our light so shine and men see it and glorify him. You see, the word sanctification is related to the word saint. To sanctify means something is to be set apart for special use for your divine purpose. We know that everybody have a purpose. God didn't create anything without a purpose. You might not know or understand your purpose, but believe me, you have one. To sanctify the person is to make him holy. The scripture tells us clearly why we have been created. There's a scripture in Romans 8 in the 29th verse. They say, For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. That God knew who would accept him. See, that's the predestination, not like some people believe that if God already decide who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, you know, why is it necessary to go through the motions? But you have to remember this: God is all-knowing. And because he's all-knowing, before the foundation of the world and before he created each and every one of us and before we was in our mother's womb, he knew if we would say the gospel, if we would receive the gospel message. And those he knew what received the message, he put in place a master plan of sanctification so that we could come to the image of his son. You see, God's purpose for us is nothing less than to conform us to Christ's likeness. That's the goal, y'all. Jesus walked the earth to give us an example of how to live. Yes, and we cannot be sinless like Jesus Christ. But it is our goal, and through the sanctification process, that we begin to sin less each day. You see, God's work in the sanctification process involves all three members of the Trinity. God the Father is constantly at work in his children. You know, there's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure." See, when I read that scripture years ago, it gave me peace in my spirit, because I learned that it wasn't all about what I could do, but it was about what God plans to do in our lives. You see, he changes our desires, making us want to please him. But watch this. He empowers us to do so. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus earned our sanctification. See, That was the part that I just talked about, what part God played. Now let's look at what Jesus do. You see, Jesus earned our sanctification on the cross. And in essence, he became our sanctification. Our scripture in Corinthians talks about, you know, Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's Jesus' part that he played. And he is the perfecter of our faith. Now we're going to look at the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the primary agent of our sanctification. He is the one who produced in us the fruit of sanctification, which is found in Galatians. Y'all know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. See, when you accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you, he brought these fruit. And all of us have it, but we have to be sanctified so they could come alive and become real in our lives, not just sometime, but all the time. Those things like love and joy. You know you have joy sometime and sometime you don't. But the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to hold on. That your joy may be fulfilled at all times, and peace that surpasses understanding. He's trying to teach us how to be long-suffering and use gentleness at all times, to have goodness within us, to walk in faith and meekness and temperance. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost is doing. And all of you should know that the Holy Ghost is living inside of you if you accepted Christ with your whole heart as your Savior. And you see, with that being said, you can be confident that the work that has begun in you, you will be completed when Jesus Christ returns for his church. And I'm not talking about the building, the religions, or the denomination, but we are the church. Each and every one of us. And here I'm going to go into the scripture. I'm going to read Philippians 1st chapter verses 1 through 11. And the scripture reads as follows. I thank my God every time I remember you. 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. 6, being confident. See, that's why I'm using this. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day that Jesus Christ returns. 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. This Paul talking, y'all. Number 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. 9, and this is my prayer. So now you see, if you read this, you know, beforehand and you might have didn't understand it, this is a prayer that Paul is praying to God on behalf of the Philippians. He said, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight. He's praying for them, y'all. 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Yes, that's one of Paul's great prayers, you know, and that could give us an example how we should pray for one another. But that was his prayer. You see, verses 3 through 11 is one of Paul's prayers for the saints. In this prayer, Paul is speaking about the process of sanctification, and he was encouraging them that they can be confident that he who had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's telling them, hold on. He's telling them, be strong. You know, he's telling them, it's all right. You're not in this alone. You see, sanctification happened in three phases. And the stages are positional sanctification, and that's the past. Progressional sanctification, and that's what we are living in now. And final sanctification is for us in the future. If you look at your spiritual life, you can sum it up as the date you first believe. That's one phase. Our living now, that's another phase. And the end of this life as we know it, that's the final stage. You see, we enter the positional stage. That's the first stage when we first believe. That date is the beginning of your spiritual life. You know how they say God has made us new creatures? You know, we were without Jesus Christ. And then when we accepted Jesus Christ, we were born again into a new life. And that new life is your spiritual life. You see, at that moment, you receive that salvation. You see, we are sanctified or set apart positionally. That is, we are saved from the ultimate penalty of sin. See, when we got in position, we accepted Christ. Christ took away our sins. So we are saved from the penalty of sin. You see, and at that moment, believers understand and they acknowledge their sinful nature. That's how you got saved. Their inability to save themselves through any works of their own, and that they needed a Savior. That's the prayer of repentance to accept Christ. You see, their acceptance of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross as a sin payment and their faith in Jesus' resurrection. You see, that's how you got saved. If you say those things and believed it and said it with your whole heart. You see, at that moment, believers are brought out of the darkness into the light. We have been justified through faith, and our position before God has been changed forever. No longer dead in trespasses. We are made alive together with Christ. Our position changed in that we are now citizens of a whole new kingdom. You know, it's often said we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And then you could ask the question, well, what world are we living in? We're living in the kingdom of God, if you're his, if you're one of his children. You see, you should be happy because the word of God say there is now no condemnation. That was our last week lesson. You're not condemned. You're not damaged goods. Condemned. You're not damaged goods. Like they condemn a building. No condemnation. We are delivered from the penalty of sin. And that should be good news for everybody. Hallelujah. We are now a part of the body of Christ, living in the kingdom of God. We are his children. We became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. We are now in position to receive all that God has prepared for his people. You have to understand what you did when you first accepted Christ and you accepted Christ. the process of sanctification that we're talking about tonight, the first stage was position. When you accepted Christ, you got in position. You got in position that you could receive all that God has for you. You in position of receiving all of his blessings, his promises, his protection, his provisions, his grace, which we don't deserve, and his mercy, which is holding back the punishment we do deserve. We are kept in the position of beloved for the rest of our lives and throughout eternity. Positional sanctification is the work of God, where he declares us already set apart and holy in his eyes. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, God says the way he look at you, you know, we all have shortcomings and we got off the battlefield and we sometimes slip into darkness. But God say once you accept his son, the first stage of sanctification put you in position. And this scripture just let us know that God's eye sees us different than man does. He say, when I look at you, I can only see my son. You see, positional sanctification is not dependent upon our feelings or whims. It is a fact of salvation. Watch this. Even though our actions on earth do not always align with our position in heaven, but in this sanctification process, and as we go a little bit further, you're going to see it will. Hallelujah. So all of us got to know and stand boldly, post our checks out, that when we accept Christ, we enter the sanctification process, and when we first believe, we got in position. Look at the second part of the process. You see, once you are in position by the power of God's grace, we in the process now of progressive sanctification. We got in, we in position, and now we're going to progressively be sanctified daily. You see, this process is where God is enabling and helping you and saving you from the practice and the power of sin. You know, that's how you could say some of the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. You got to realize that that's God working in you. Come on, y'all. And yeah, there's still some things in our lives that we know we need to work on and know we need to change. But since you met Jesus, you have never been the same. Even in your shortcomings, there still was something in you holding you back to some degree from evil. You see, when someone is born physically and then they die physically, the marker on their grave, I'm saying something hypothetical, may be 1920 to 2020. And then there's a dash in the middle. You see, the jazz represent the time that they live from the beginning to the end. Come on, y'all. You see, the dash contain all of the facts of what, how, when, and why you did the things you did. That dash holds the contents of your story. But you see, we are now living our spiritual life because we have accepted Christ and we in position. So we have a spiritual life and we are now living progressively in the spiritual life, in the dash of our spiritual life. Hallelujah. How you like that? See, progressive sanctification is accomplished by the Holy Ghost. Now, we see God played the greatest part in our positional vacation because he made the plan. He allowed his son to come, and he told us what we had to do to be saved. I told you that the sanctification process have all three parts of the Trinity. Now we're going to see that the Holy Ghost is the one actively working in this place, in this part, in our spiritual life. Because salvation is an act of the Spirit. And you'll say, well, why the Holy Ghost? First of all, we know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is one. But when Jesus died and he ascended back in heaven and he went and sat at the right hand of the Father to intercede for our behalf, he said he wouldn't leave us, comfortless. He wouldn't leave us where we wouldn't be comfort. And he would leave his Spirit. And once we got in position, the Spirit came and lived inside of us. And you see what he did? The Holy Spirit sealed us with the blood of Jesus. The believer's new position cannot be changed. You know, in the old days, the kings had a seal, and they used to have a signet ring, and they would take that seal, and they would take that seal and they would heat it and they would put it in that wax. And whenever they wanted something to be authenticated or have, you know, power with it or something like that, they would put that seal on it. That's something like they tell you, you got to get your papers notarized today, which makes it real. So the Holy Ghost indwells in us, and he seals us with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they say it, and the Bible teaches us that the position we are in cannot be changed. Once we got in position, it cannot be changed. It cannot be lost, and you can't give it back. We cannot unsave ourselves, even though sometimes we feel like we are not saved. But if you truly accepted Christ with your whole heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, when you did it, you are saved. And that's the ones we're talking about, that it can't be lost, it can't be given back. Yeah, we have detours in life. Yeah, we make mistakes. Yeah, as the church people say sometimes, you backslidden. But the word of God lets us know we cannot unsave ourselves, nor can we alter our position before God through any of the works that we may do or the lack thereof. Because, you see, you can't work good enough to change your position. And you can't lose your position because you're not working the work that is set before you. But in the sanctification process, God is trying to get everything to work together for the good. We are not saved by works, but because we are saved, we should want to work. You got to remember, you never went looking for God. God came looking for you. But, and there's a scripture, Romans 5:8, that says, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here in the dash, we learn that God cannot love you more than he already does. When God first came to you and you was doing anything you thought you was big and bad enough to do, any kind of way you wanted to do it, leaning to your own understanding, making it up as you go, God allowed his son to die because of his love for him. So you may be making mistakes in your life, and you may not be all you want to be in Christ Jesus, but I came to tell you tonight that God cannot love you no more than he already loves you. You see, God initiated first the positional process of sanctification. And we are being progressively sanctified now. But you see, God did, you know, the choosing and sending the Son and making a way and all of that. But I want you to know in the process that we are in now, the progressive sanctification process we are in now, this is where we have to pay the part. And I'm going to tell you, playing your part, good or bad, don't make God no more or no less God. This is where I should say you're living in your spiritual dash. Here is where you have to choose if you're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, or if you're just going to keep on leaning to your own understanding. You see, here you have the choice. And what you decide. You see, here is where we have the choice to be just hearers of the word or to become doers of the word. Here is where we can trust God totally. We learn that we should trust God totally in all things. Or are you in a state where you holding back the trust when it's convenient for you? You're going to pick and choose what to trust him for. You're going to pick and choose when to trust him. You're going to pick. You know, all this is happening now in this process because we are living and waiting till Jesus come back. You see, where we at now is progressive sanctification, and it's a lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And we have to learn to yield to his control. I want to tell y'all something about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a ministry. He has been, you know, ordained by God to work in a believer's lives. And he does a great job. And he don't take vacations, and he don't take leave of absence, and he don't not show up for work. So the Holy Ghost is constantly working on your behalf, talking and leading and guiding you. But you got to listen. And then sometime when you hear him, some people say, something told me not to go there. Call him by his name, and it'll something. It's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is doing his job. So I would suggest if you think you don't hear him or you haven't heard him, take time, sit back, invite him in. You see, he's a gentleman like God and Jesus. They don't push themselves on nobody. And the Holy Ghost is doing his job in you. It's your job to yield to his control. You see, once we are positionally sanctified, which was the beginning, the Holy Ghost used the word of God to progressively sanctify us. So that the end of our holiness is going to line up with the positional holiness when we see Christ. The Bible said in Genesis, when God decided to make man, he said, let us make man in our image. And ever since then, God is trying to get the man and the woman and the boy and the girl that he created to line up with the image of his son. Jesus walked the earth so he could be our example. People was wearing armbands saying, what would Jesus do? So that's our goal, and God has arranged a process of sanctification that helps us. See, God don't set you up to fail. This is what he wants, and he's given us everything that we could accomplish it. I mean, you can't get it no better than that. You see, in this process, as we grow to know and love God, we learn that we can trust his character, his promises, and begin to understand his precepts. You see, here in the dash, we learn who we are. Now, look how good God is. In the dash, you learn out who you are, because you can't know who you are until you know who your maker is. And I can be a witness and tell you, the more you know about God, the more you're going to know about yourself. That's why so many people running around looking for love in all the wrong places, because they don't know who they are. When they got to go get their face changed, their head changed, their eyes changed, you know, and all of that, trying to be what they have established in their mind that they want to be. But they never enjoyed, how God created them. You know, I look at myself a lot of times, I'm short. I used to be knock-kneed, but I don't think my knees knock as much now. The older I get, they don't knock. You know, I'm dark. And I'm pleasingly plump. But, you know, I embrace, because this is what God created. And God does not make no mistakes. When you begin to embrace who you are with your whole heart, it created in you to not try to be something else. But again, you cannot know who you are until you know who your maker is. You see, in this process where we at now, I just want to let you know, whenever God asks us to avoid something, it's not because he want to be a killjoy, but because he know that it is not our best interest. Come on, y'all. And whenever he asks us to do something, it is always because he will lead us to our greater good. Y'all need to, we got to understand God is in control. He got this figured out till Jesus come back, and what's going to happen after Jesus come back. And why wouldn't you want to be connected wholeheartedly with the one that got the power? You see, our greatest task in this spiritual life is to do his will, to love the things he loves, and to choose the things he set before us for our good. I tell people all the time, that's your job, that's what God has put in your hand, work it well. You see, in this process is where we learn how to receive. You know, God wants us to do those things I was talking about. And I want to let you know what God got for you in this process. Here is where we learn how to receive all that has been given to us when we got in position, when we first believed. You see, the word of God is our moral compass, and it is a tool necessary to live a righteous life here on earth. But it also contains all of God's will, desire, and intended purpose for our life. You know, way back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 20:11, look what God said to Jeremiah. But it was also for us, and it was for the people Jeremiah had to prophesy to. God said, and the Bible said, God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Tonight I want to ask you, do you believe it? Because if you really begin to believe it, it's when you will have the beginning to be able to achieve it. You see, it also teaches us how to give freely, because everything we have has been freely given to us. Because we have to remember that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. This lets us know that we are only stewards. We taking care of something here on earth until Jesus come back again. So you're a steward. And everything that you have been given, it's not just for you. Your time, your resources, your talents, and your gifts are to be used in the kingdom. So you could, you know, look at yourself and see what you're doing with what God has given you till he come back again. Oh, hallelujah. How much time are you giving him? How much of your resources are you willing to give up for kingdom building? The talents that God gave you, do you ever give him glory with it? And the gift are to be used in the kingdom. This lets us know that we, this lets us know that if we just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added unto you. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. So it just appears, and it's real simple, that if you seek God first in all aspects of your life, all things will be added unto you. Seek God first. That means take care of his business by seeking him first. And then all things will be added to you, which is necessary for your business. And y'all know I say all the time, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of yours. It's not about how much you have gathered in this life. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be about how much you have scattered in this life. The Bible also lets us know that there will be times of difficulties. I'm not leaving that out, y'all. Times of tribulation, adversities, hardships, and temptations. And even when we mess up, knowing that God is in total control and he's constantly working all things out for our good, he told us on last week there's no condemnation and we have received everything to live a righteous life. You should be able, come on, y'all, when the wind blow too hard, when the storms of life come in, when we have loss of our loved ones, when all of these things happen, knowing what the word of God says and what God has promised to do for you and is doing, you should be able to keep it moving. I'm not taking out the element that you are human. And everybody go through difficulties differently. I understand that. But the bottom line is the word of God is still going to be the answer to get you from whatever state you're in. You see, in this process of progressional sanctification, there will be times when you fall. But we know that God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And it has always been said throughout the Bible, it's not what come your way, it's who you go through it with. And the Bible also said there's no trial, tribulation, or temptation that can happen to you that has not happened and is common to man. Sometimes you feel like you're, whatever you're going through is the biggest thing in the world and it never happened to anybody and this is that. But the Bible says that nothing that can happen to you is not common to man, meaning that it has already happened before. Not a long ranger. He said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, what more could you ask for? Yeah, I'm going through, but what the word of God says? You see, y'all got to remember, in this process, we are being prepared for our heavenly home. Remember, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You see, in our dash, where we are living at now, in our spiritual life, our dash, the day we first believe, then when Jesus come back, or we dead, and Well, when he come back, period, because if we dead, the dead in Christ going to rise first and the other one's going to be taken up. You see, our dash is God arranging and rearranging the matters of our life so that we will be able to be conformed to the image of his son. And I want to let you know tonight, don't forget that prayer is essential in your dash. Philippians 4 and 6 and 7 say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with an understanding. Shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Don't pray after everything is falling through. Go to God first so he could go through it with you. So he won't have to backtrack and fix up what you done messed up. Well, the Bible says if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. And I want to tell you this tonight. God is reviewing your dash. And it should be your desire that he will be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Just the scripture, y'all. And I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's when it's all over, y'all. You should want God to say, servant, well done. And for God to tell you, come on and enter into the joy of the Lord. Some people say, well, since once saved, always saved, I'm going to just do it any kind of way I want because I'm going to be saved anyway. But wouldn't you prefer if God can tell you, well done? God is preparing you for your eternal life, and how good you perform here determine what he has for you to do there. It's not over when we die. We're going to live in the New Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to be governor and king. You have to remember only the things done for Christ will last and go with you into eternity. Grow and fight the good fight of faith that you're living will not be in vain. See, for those who want to just do it any kind of way and be saved, their living is going to be in vain. Let your living be able to speak for you in eternity. You see, the third and final stage of the sanctification process occur in the future. When believers die, their spirit go to be with Christ. And after this physical life is over, we will be sanctified finally. That is, we will be saved from the presence of sin. There will be no more sin. You ain't going to have to worry about if I'm going to do right or do wrong, if I'm going to walk in lust, if I'm going to be in a pride of life. You're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Since nothing and unclean can enter heaven, we must be made perfect at that point. See, the Bible talks about be ye perfect as I am also perfect. That's when we're going to be perfect. When Jesus come back, nothing unclean can reach heaven. So at that point, before he takes us there, he's got to make us perfect. You see, when we go with Jesus, this corruptible body, which is, you know, with the flesh, must put on incorruption. And this mortal body must put on immortality. We're going to be changed from corrupt to incorruptible, from mortality to immortality. Hallelujah. We're going to be made perfect. You see, the sanctification of the whole person, your body, your soul, and spirit will finally be complete when Jesus returns and we receive glorified bodies. And I'm closing with this tonight. Sanctification had three phases. When you first believe, what God did you was justified you. Come on now. He said, you're mine. Your heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're my child. He justified us, which is justification. And it delivered us from the penalty of sin. Right? We are now being sanctified daily, which is sanctification. And what that does right here, right now, while we walk, if we study and pray and listen to God and let the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost lead us and allow God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost work in us as he pleases, we will be delivered from the power of sin. And one day, Jesus will come back and we will be glorified. And glorification deliver us from the present of sin. Sin will be no more. And that's when we'll be perfect. And that's when we'll be totally sinless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But until then, we have to do the best we can. But we're not doing it alone. The part you have to play, you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to begin and get committed to the things of God. That's your part. The Father is doing his. The Holy Spirit is constantly doing his. And Jesus Christ has done and willing to do even more. How fast and how far you get there depends on you. That's the lesson for tonight. If anyone would have anything to say, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic. If anyone would just like to say hello, if anyone have words of encouragement, if anyone need prayer, excuse, you could press the one button. Okay, caller, your number is 504-621-14. Your mic is open, and you can speak.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. This is Sister Maddie,
hello.
And I have a song I would like to play that correlates with the message.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and play it. Is that okay with you, Minister Diane?
How long is it?
It shows 6 minutes and 48 seconds, but I can cut it short.
Okay, and what I'll do, because what I will do, some other people press the button, so I want to give them,
okay,
you know, a chance to talk. But
okay,
I got
you. Can
you
go ahead.
I'm going to get back to you.
It could be at the very end. Okay.
Right,
very
that's
end.
What I'm saying.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
All right. Caller, your number is 504-25. 20579, your mic is open.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I pray all is well for every household represented on this phone. I was calling for a prayer request for my ex-husband and his family. His wife died, and her service was on yesterday. I want to lift the Martin family up in prayer. My children are there with him, and I've just been hearing that it's been hard for them. So I'm asking you to lift them up and send them comfort at this time, the Martin family.
Thank you so much. And we would definitely pray for them.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else would like to say anything, pray? So at this time, we're going to let Miss Sister Maddie play some of the song for us. So listen, she said, it aligns up with the message tonight, so we're going to be blessed. So Sister Maddie?
Yes.
Yes,
the
you
name
can
of
start
the song,
now.
The name of the song is A Great Work by Brian Courtney Wilson.
We can't hardly hear it, and it's breaking up.
Okay.
Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps.
Minister Diane, can you hear it?
Not really.
Okay, well, we can go ahead and end it.
This is what I'm going to do. While you was doing that, I went on and got it. I'm going to play it, and when
okay.
we get through, we'll just pray and go out because I know the record.
Okay.
And I always say this is our Bible study. So I'm glad y'all coming and participating, so I do enjoy it. And, you know, God is doing a new thing with us. So I'm going to go
Amen.
Ahead and play it, and I'll let it play a little while, and then we'll go ahead back to so we could pray and close, because I don't want people to leave before the benediction, because there's
right.
blessing in the benediction. Okay, this
Amen.
Is God is doing a great work.
Planet inside us to bless the world.
That's a beautiful song. And you are so right, Sister Maddie. It corresponds with the lesson well. And I thank you for taking time and being able to hook that up together and realize that that it would, you know, add to the lesson. And I'm so grateful and I'm so honored that everyone stayed on the line. You know, I know we promised hour, and I told y'all we always have 2 hours, but I just want to thank you, Sister Maddie, for that song. And if y'all hear some other songs, bring them, you know, do like Sister Maddie did, and bring them up. And I just want y'all to be encouraged, just like the record said, God is doing a great work in each and every one of us, and we should learn to cooperate and be committed and have a desire to grow even more. And with that being said, I'm going to do the benediction, and I'm going to use a scripture that I know, like Sister Maddie brought a song that chorus, you know, that went along with the lesson. There's a scripture in 2 Peter 3:18, and it says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are in the sanctification, the progressional sanctification of our lives. And God is doing a great work in us. And we have to learn and study the Word of God and listen to the Holy Spirit and let God work on us from the inside out so that when Jesus comes back, we will be able to be made perfect at that time. And all that you did for Christ in this dash will be able to go with you in eternity. And that's our lesson for tonight. And everybody be blessed. I want you to know that God loves you and so do I. If the Lord say the same, be back next week. I love each and every one of you. And just as Paul prayed for the Philippians, that's how I pray for you guys. And I pray that we pray for each other. And I pray that you pray for me. Good night and be blessed.